In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Please be seated. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Sojourners and exiles. When I read this passage from 1 Peter, I said to myself, boy, that is an apt description of what this season feels like. We are like sojourners and exiles, wandering in an uncharted land, having been exiled from so much of what is familiar of our daily life. But of course, what Peter is talking about here in his first letter is not just a specific experience or a specific season. When Peter says that we are sojourners and exiles, he's talking about all of life, life from the cradle to the grave. He's reminding us that spiritually speaking, we are only traveling through this life as sojourners, because this life and this planet, these are not our home. We are foreigners in this land. Our true home, where we really belong, is somewhere else. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Now, we're going to do something a little bit unusual this morning. We're going to start at the bottom portion of verse that said the bottom portion of 1 Peter. We're going to move over to John, and then we're going to come back and grab a verse that's near the top of our reading from 1 Peter. So if you've got a Bible, you might want to keep a finger in both books, the Gospel according to John and 1 Peter. But let's look again at that verse that I began with there in 1 Peter 2:11, where Peter writes this, "Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul." Peter is reminding us of something that we have to be reminded of over and over and over again. We don't belong here. This world is not our home. It's not our permanent residence. And Peter's particular concern is that if we forget this fact, that we are residents of another land, then we'll become enchanted and ultimately ensnared by the things of this world. That's what Peter means when he talks about the passions of the flesh which wage war against your soul. This dynamic that Peter is describing, it reminds me of the 1940 Disney classic Pinocchio, when Pinocchio forsakes the warnings of the blue fairy and he ignores his conscience, Jiminy Cricket, and he finds himself ensnared on Pleasure Island. What God is saying through Peter in this verse is that the same thing can happen to us, spiritually speaking, when we forget that we are only sojourners and exiles in this life. Because if we forget that we are simply passing through this land, that our life here is but temporary, then the temptations of the flesh, as Peter puts it, will seem so much more alluring to us. But if, on the other hand, we remember that we don't belong here, if we keep the eyes of our heart focused on our real home, then we can see Pleasure Island for what it really is, a trap. You know, when people talk about getting older, they usually talk about it in a disparaging way. But I just want to say that one of the great advantages of getting older is that it's a lot easier as you get older to understand the point that Peter is making here. Getting older helps you to see just how fleeting this life is. It's a lot harder to appreciate Peter's point when you're young and this life seems so long and so permanent, and you just have to take Peter on faith. But regardless of our age, the point is the same. God is calling us, my friends, through Peter, to pause and consider by the light of the Holy Spirit, have we become entrapped or ensnared by the passions of this world? Have we fallen into patterns of behavior that, while acceptable by the standards of this world, are not appropriate for the children of God? Well, even as Peter presents us with this spiritual concern that we can become entrapped and ensnared by the things of this world, Peter also provides for us the key that can unlock every stronghold of temptation. And Peter reminded us of that key back there in verse 9 when he said, "But you are a chosen race. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession." Peter wants us to remember that we don't belong in this world. He wants us to remember that we have another home. That's the key, my friends. And to help us get a real sense, a real picture of our true home, I want us now to go over to the Gospel according to John, because it's there that Jesus says those familiar words that we often hear at funerals, because these words remind us of the promise of home. In John 14:1, Jesus says this, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms," or as the King James Version puts it, many mansions. "If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." Friends, you are a people of God's own possession. You belong to God. And while you are sojourners in this life, the place where you really belong, the place where your life is ultimately heading, is in the very household of God. And more than that, not only is Jesus telling you where your true home is, he's also telling you something about who you are. You are God's people. You are his children. You are his sons and his daughters. That's what it means to have a home in the household of the Father. When I was in middle school, my father lived on an apartment on Legree Street, and I can remember walking up and down that street on nights during the autumn and the winter when night came early. And I can remember looking up in the dusk at those great houses all lighted up on a Friday night or a Saturday night. And I can remember hearing the sounds of a party coming through those thin window panes, telling of great joy going on inside those great homes. And I can remember the feeling of wondering what would it be like to be on the inside. I think it's a universal desire, even for the most introverted of us, to belong, to have a place, to want to be on the inside. And what Jesus is promising here in John 14 is that you are on the inside. You belong. You are a people for God's own possession. And on top of this, Jesus' promise here brings incredible hope when we mourn for fellow Christians who have died in the faith. Today, of course, is Mother's Day. My own mother died 14 years ago this past Friday. And what joyful comfort it brings to know that I will be with her again when my time of sojourning in this life has come to a close. And I know the same is true for many of you as you think about your mothers on Mother's Day who have gone on before. So friends, Peter's reminder that you are a people for God's own possession, and Jesus' reminder that he has gone to prepare a place for you in his Father's house, these things will help you whenever you stray to bring your life back into line with God's will for you. Remembering these things will help you to forsake the passions of the flesh, whatever they might be in your life. Be they the hot passions like envy or lust, or the cooler passions like pride or resentment. When I was a boy, I used to stay with my grandmother who lived in a small town in the Sand Hills of South Carolina. And one of the things about small towns that many of you know if you've lived in a small town is that everybody knows everybody and everybody knows everybody's business. And even though I didn't live in that town, and even though the people on Main Street may not have known my name, they certainly knew to whom I belonged. And they'd say, "Oh, I know whose grandson you are." And knowing that they knew who I was, well, it gave me both a sense of confidence as I walked down the street, but also a sense of responsibility. I wanted to do right by my grandmother, to make her proud. And that's what Peter is doing for us. He is reminding us that as we go through this life, which is not our true hometown, people are going to know to whom we belong. And knowing that they know will give us both confidence, we are God's people, but also a deep sense of responsibility. Because what we do, my friends, it reflects on him. So, We are sojourners in this life. Our true home is in the household of God, where Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us. And now finally, I want to consider, well, what does this say about our life here on this planet? Because, you know, to be called sojourners and exiles, it makes it sound as if, well, this life is just sort of an aimless wandering. But of course, nothing could be further from the truth. And we get our first hint of our purpose in this life from something that Jesus says that I want to carry with us as we go back to 1 Peter. There in verse 12 in the Gospel according to John, Jesus says this: "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do." Listen to this: "And greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father." Now, anytime Jesus says, "truly, truly," that's your cue to grab your highlighter and to highlight whatever comes next. Jesus is saying that this life of sojourning, in this life, you will do greater things than even Jesus has done. Because Jesus is going to the Father, and from the Father, he will send the Holy Spirit to his people, to you, to empower them to do greater works than he has done. And let's carry that idea now as we go back to 1 Peter, where 1 Peter talks about our purpose in this life of sojourning. In verse 5, Peter writes, "You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." Friends, God put us here, his people, as sojourners and exiles in this land, that we might be like living stones built up as a spiritual house, so that we might, as verse 9 explains, proclaim the excellencies of him who called us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. That is, God is building us up as a house, a spiritual house, where the world can come in and be shown the way back home. You see, not every house is a home, but we are to be a spiritual house who points people homeward. A house who proclaims to the world that Jesus has gone before to prepare a place for you in his Father's home. And whereas Jesus proclaimed this good news in one little teeny geographic region there in Palestine for just a handful of years during his ministry around 30 AD, you, the people of God, are being built up into a house to do even greater works than Jesus did by taking that same good news out into the world, to set people free from the bondage, the shackles of shame and fear and hopelessness. That is God's mission for us during this time of sojourning. Now let me just set all of this in the context of what we're going through right now, because I think that's important. The thing about building a stone building is that the stones, that's you and me, we've got to be fashioned so that we can fit into the stonemason's design. And if you've ever read through the entire Bible, one of the things that becomes very clear is that some of God's most important spiritual stonemasonry happens when God's people are out wandering in some desert. So knowing that all things work for the good of those who love God and are called by him, I know and I trust and I proclaim to you all that that is what God is doing for us right now. He is using the trials of this time to shape us, his living stones, fashioning us stone by stone that we might be fit to proclaim the excellencies of him who called us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Now, knowing all this doesn't make the process easy. It still hurts getting your rough edges knocked off, I will attest to that. But it does help to know that that's what God is doing in us right now. So my fellow sojourners and exiles, I encourage you to be of good courage, to remember that you have a true home with your Heavenly Father, and to trust that he is fashioning you as living stones to become his church, to do greater things than even Jesus did, pointing this world homeward through him who is the way and the truth and the life. And with that in mind, my friends, let us bow our heads in prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you for making a way home for us in your Father's house through your wonderful and precious cross. As we travel through the journeys of this life, grant us the grace to trust in your loving purposes and give us strength as you fashion us to be living stones, that this church of yours might proclaim the excellencies of your Son, who is the way home. For we ask these things in his precious and powerful name. Amen.